This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Kraken. The year is 2030, and the world is a vastly different place. For years, rumors circulated about secret societies and shadowy organizations controlling global events. But nobody realized the true scope of their power until it was too late. Michael Janssen, a freelance journalist, had always been skeptical of fringe theories. But as he began to investigate further, he stumbled upon a web of conspiracy that threatened to unravel the very fabric of society. Through his research, Michael discovered the secret organizations did, in fact, exist. Over many years, the members of these groups had been slowly consolidating power. The goal was to control every aspect of human life. As their influence grew, so did chaos and upheaval around the world. Economies collapsed, governments crumbled, and the very idea of individual freedom became a distant memory. They told us it was for the greater good. So now, as Michael wanders the streets of the once great city of New York, he can't help but reflect on the events that led to this moment. The signs had always been there, hidden in plain sight. But by the time anyone thought to act, it was already too late. Yeah, I don't really mind it if the tuck wasn't so uncomfortable.
Ah, human! Thank goodness! I need your help! It's an emergency!
Of course you need my help. That's the only reason you call me.
That's the only reason you call me. You know, you can pick up the phone, too. Our relationship goes both ways.
Please, I don't like the way that's...
No time for chit-chat. I got a little problem. A $25,000 problem.
Forget it. I don't have that kind of money.
I don't need your stinking money. Can't you see I'm swimming in gold over here?
Yeah, where did you get all that gold?
Let's just say it involved a Russian oligarch, a game of chess, and a whole lot of vodka.
You won $25,000 from a Russian oligarch playing chess?
Yeah. He thought he could hold his liquor. He didn't realize my bowl is 80% vodka. I'm swimming in 160 proof. He had no chance. But what do I do with all this booty?
Well, I don't know. Diversify your portfolio with precious metals.
But where do I keep it? Oh, I know. I could bury it in the backyard.
Don't dig another hole in the backyard.
Yeah, you're right. We don't need another Code Brown.
Maybe, I don't know, turn it in for cash.
That green paper that's not even backed by anything? Are you nuts? Do I need to give you another lecture on deficit spending and the looming danger of the growing national debt?
Please don't. How about cryptocurrency?
Crypto? Oh, I heard stories about fish losing their scales in the crypto markets. That's a little too scary for me.
Well, it doesn't have to be scary, especially when you use Kraken.
Kraken? Ah, forget it. I met a few of those at a rave last summer. They were a bunch of chads.
Not that kind of Kraken. I'm talking about the cryptocurrency exchange.
Wait a minute. This sounds like a setup for today's sponsor.
It sure is. If you're one of those people looking to get into crypto, or you're simply looking for a better way to trade, check out Kraken. Over 10 million people trust Kraken, and it's easy to see why. Their user interface is incredibly intuitive, no matter if you're an experienced trader or just getting started. And Kraken's usability doesn't come at the expense of security either. They protect your assets with some of the highest standards of security in the industry. And if you've ever got questions, Kraken's award-winning support team is on standby 24/7, online, in the app, whenever you need it. Whatever trading strategies you've got in your playbook, Kraken gets you started with as little as $10. Head over to kraken.com and see what crypto can be. This is not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss and is offered to U.S. customers through Payward Interactive, Inc.
Kraken.com, eh?
Yep, Kraken.com. And look, they may be a sponsor, but I've actually been a Kraken customer for many years.
This sounds perfect. Wait, hang on. Я принимаю ваш вызов.
Are you still gambling with the Russian oligarch?
Yeah, hang on. He just challenged me to a game of Marco Polo. Одну минуту, Yuri. He doesn't realize I don't have eyelids. The poor bastard.
Thank you.
A luxurious hotel in the Swiss Alps becomes a fortress. A convoy of limousines delivers world leaders, billionaires, even royalty. Names like Kissinger, Merkel, Zuckerberg, Soros, Gates, the power brokers of the world. This is the annual Bilderberg meeting.
Also known as the Illuminati class reunion.
Well, Bilderberg claims it's just a forum to discuss issues concerning Europe and the United States.
I don't buy it.
Well, a lot of people don't. They don't keep minutes or meeting logs. Press is not allowed. No public statements are made. Members are sworn to silence. Why?
Yeah, because when you want to create a one-world government and enslave the human race, it's better to keep that under wraps.
Right. That's the theory. The Bilderberg Group wants to create a single global surveillance state with one currency and a compliant media.
Well, you can check compliant media off the list. They got that one covered.
It is impossible not to reach the conclusion that the non-reporting of these events is anything other than a conspiracy between the organizers and the media. It merely confirms the belief of many that the hidden agenda and purpose of the Bilderberg Group is to bring about undemocratic world government. World government, world
government, world government. If you look closely, you'll see hints, if not blatant evidence of this. Major world events often follow Bilderberg meetings. Brexit shocked the world, but Bilderberg discussed it weeks before. The COVID-19 pandemic emerged after talks about China and a stable strategic order.
We have a new name for the coronavirus. The World Health Organization has officially called it COVID-19.
Climate change is a popular topic at Bilderberg meetings. They want more regulations, a carbon tax, a carbon credit system. Is their concern for the environment genuine, or do they want to reshape the global economy?
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question, right?
Oh, you don't think they care about the...
How dare you!
Isn't that bit getting old by now?
Yeah, not to me. I'm gonna make that my ringtone.
Social media censorship and the concern for, quote, misinformation intensified post-Bilderberg. Coincidence? Or an intentional way to control the narrative? In 2008, an unusually high number of bank executives attended. Months later, the global economy nearly collapsed.
Major news overnight. House and Senate negotiators have reached agreement on a massive plan to bail out imperiled financial markets.
Governments spent $15 trillion bailing out banks and corporations. Wealthy executives received bonuses while taxpayers footed the bill.
The numbers are in. Wall Street firms are setting aside close to $20 billion for bonuses and compensation benefits. Goldman Sachs, experiencing a spectacular rebound post-government bailout, has already spent nearly $12 billion this year.
Did you ever get a thank you note from B of A, Wells Fargo, or Chase?
Nope.
Yeah, neither did I.
All those bankers should be in orange jumpsuits, if you ask me.
I agree. Nobody was ever held accountable for that. But cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin emerged in the aftermath of the crisis and changed the financial landscape. Finally, everybody from rich to poor had access to a currency that didn't rely on corrupt corporations, banks, or governments. All you need is a smartphone and an internet connection to set up a digital wallet and start transacting. Cryptocurrency is a transparent, equitable financial system with no centralized control. But it's the exact opposite of the Bilderberg plan. The Bilderbergers support digital currency, except, of course, they want to control it. They say their oversight will reduce crime and streamline transactions. Okay. Artificial intelligence has been a hot topic at Bilderberg. Suddenly, AI development and investment have exploded.
Right now, they are considering an investment of $10 billion. This, of course, is ChatGPT, is a bit of a talk of the town, if you will.
But are these innovations meant to help the public or control it? If Bilderberg wants to create a one-world government, they'll need influential people to execute their plans. They'll need politicians, especially ambitious politicians.
Are there any other kind of politicians?
Good point. Ambitious people are easy to manipulate, and that's a major component of the Bilderberg Group, recruitment. Recruitment for something even bigger. Michael Janssen hunched over his desk, engulfed by a sea of newspaper clippings and the eerie glow of multiple screens. His eyes, bloodshot from endless hours of research, darted between fragments of information. As a veteran journalist, Michael had always been able to see the patterns in the chaos of world events. But lately, those patterns started pointing to something far more sinister than he'd ever imagined. The global push for a single digital currency was accelerating. Meanwhile, established cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin were being attacked and maligned with false propaganda. A centralized digital currency called UnityCoin was proposed. It promised stability, security, and regulatory oversight. But Bitcoin was already stable, secure, and regulated. So why do we even need UnityCoin? Well, every transaction made with Unity would be tracked and recorded. Each purchase, no matter how mundane, would contribute to a comprehensive digital profile of the user. Buy a book on civil disobedience? That's locked. Purchase medication for a certain condition? Noted. Donate to a political cause? Recorded. Over time, the records of these purchases would create a very accurate digital fingerprint of an individual's habits, beliefs, and potential actions. The algorithm could predict, with terrifying accuracy, whether someone was likely to participate in a protest based solely on their digital fingerprint. The implications were chilling. If certain items or patterns of consumption were deemed dangerous to the New World Order, individuals could suddenly be cut off from the UnityCoin system, effectively rendering those people economic outcasts. But the surveillance didn't stop there. Law enforcement agencies could potentially use these digital profiles to justify searches and arrests. If your digital fingerprint were similar to people considered threats to the state, you would be considered suspicious and guilty by algorithmic association. We were told that our civil liberties were being eroded under the guise of security and public health. The recent Global Harmony Act was a big red flag for Michael. As Michael connected these dots, he couldn't shake the feeling that these events were connected, somehow tied to the secretive meetings of groups like Bilderberg, the push for global governance, the consolidation of the media, and even the shifts in education. From grade school through college, students were being subtly indoctrinated to acquiesce to this new world. To Michael, these all seemed to be pieces of a larger puzzle, pointing toward centralization of control. In his mind, he heard the voice of his editor over and over, "Stick to the facts, Michael, stick to the facts." But as he stared at his evidence board, red strings crisscrossing between seemingly unrelated events, Michael knew that sometimes the truth lurked in the spaces between the facts, in the patterns that emerged from the chaos. He also knew that sometimes chaos was just chaos. Was he on the verge of uncovering the story of the century? A vast conspiracy that threatened the very foundations of individual freedom? Or was he losing himself in a labyrinth of his own making, seeing connections where none existed? Had he become another one of those, quote, conspiracy theorists? Maybe. Still, Michael Janssen couldn't shake the feeling that he was standing on the precipice of a world-altering revelation. But in a world where the line between truth and paranoia was becoming increasingly blurred, could he trust his instincts? He knew the answer, of course, and it terrified him. Because that answer could change everything. Bilderberg meetings have been known to transform obscure people into global powerhouses. Margaret Thatcher and Tony Blair were fairly minor political players. Not long after attending a Bilderberg meeting, they became prime ministers. Angela Merkel wasn't very well known. A few months after Bilderberg, she was Germany's first female chancellor. In France, Emmanuel Macron went from banker to president. In Italy, Romano Prodi went from professor to prime minister. Pedro Sanchez became Spain's prime minister without an election.
Mariano Rajoy has been ousted as Spain's prime minister after a no-confidence vote, with Socialist Party leader Pedro Sanchez taking his place.
After a Bilderberg meeting, Jens Stoltenberg became Norway's prime minister and is now the secretary general of NATO. Ursula von der Leyen jumped from German defense minister to leader of the European Union.
Sorry about that. Hold on. Let me put that on silent. My bad. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Bilderberg has Europe covered. What about the United States? They recruit from there, too. What does a governor of Arkansas have to do with international policy? Why was he at a Bilderberg meeting in 1991? Nobody knows. But a few months later, Bill Clinton announced his run for president.
To provide that proven leadership is our challenge in 1992, and that is why today I proudly announce my candidacy for president of the United States of America.
By 1993, he was in the Oval Office.
Oh, you know who else was in his office?
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have...
We don't joke about the Clintons.
Fine. Devil with the blue dress, devil with the blue dress on. What?
In 2008, Barack Obama was in a fierce battle with Hillary Clinton for the Democratic presidential nomination.
I did not mention his name.
Your husband did.
Well, I'm here. He's
okay,
not.
Well, and I can't tell who I'm running against sometimes.
Well.
During the campaign, he attended a Bilderberg conference, which raised questions. Why was this inexperienced politician mingling with the global elite? Nobody knows. But a few months later, he clinched the presidency. Kristen Sinema, a little-known congresswoman, attended in 2018. Then she became a pivotal U.S. senator. This pattern spans decades. Maybe the Bilderbergers simply have an eye for talent.
Nope.
Maybe these people rose so quickly because they were extremely intelligent and competent.
Nope.
Or maybe they were handpicked for roles in an even more exclusive, secretive, and powerful organization.
Yahtzee.
The Bilderberg Group focuses on the United States and Europe. But to create a one-world government, you'll need to influence nations around the world. It's been rumored that Bilderberg is a vetting process, an audition for a role in an organization that nobody really knows about, but has tremendous global influence, the Trilateral Commission. Michael Janssen watched the news with a growing sense of unease. In just 2 years, the world had transformed into something he barely recognized. Dystopian reality that seemed ripped from the pages of a science fiction novel. The global digital currency, Unity Coin, was now the dominant form of exchange. Those who resisted found themselves increasingly marginalized, unable to access basic services. National borders, once fiercely defended, were dissolving. The newly formed Global Council now held more sway than the old UN ever did. Michael's investigations into its members had revealed a web of connections to corporate giants and shadowy think tanks, confirming his worst suspicions about the true nature of this new world order. Most alarming was the rollout of the Harmony chip. This subdermal implant, no larger than a grain of rice, was being hailed as a miracle of modern technology. It provided better health and security, where your vital signs were constantly monitored, your location always known, and your identity impossible to steal. Though not mandatory, social pressure to adopt it was intense. celebrities and influencers gushed about the convenience and peace of mind it brought them. News segments highlighted heartwarming stories of lives saved by the chip's health monitoring capabilities. The pressure to conform was immense. Employers began encouraging their workers to get chipped, hinting at better opportunities for those who complied. Schools implemented chip-based systems for everything from attendance to lunch payments, leaving unchipped children feeling left out. Those who expressed even the slightest concern were labeled paranoid or conspiracy theorists. Michael had lost friends who bought into the propaganda. One by one, they got chipped, each time insisting it wasn't that bad or that he was overreacting. But Michael noticed subtle changes in the behavior of people with the Harmony chip. They self-censored. They were more compliant with authority. They were more docile. One day, an email from a whistleblower revealed to Michael the true nature of the Harmony chip. It wasn't just a passive tracking device. It could influence mood and behavior by causing the body to release certain hormones and chemicals. This could become the ultimate tool of control. As Michael included these latest findings in his story, colleagues had warned him to back off. He'd noticed an unmarked van parked up the street from his apartment. He knew he was under surveillance, but Michael couldn't stop. He was on to something big, something that threatened the freedom of everyone on Earth. Michael was reeling from hours and hours of disturbing rabbit holes and anonymous whistleblowers. He couldn't shake the feeling that time was running out. But he was exhausted. He had to call it a night. As was his routine, he encrypted his research and put the files on his portable drive. Next, he sent the files to his anonymous email address. But anonymous didn't mean what it used to. Sooner or later, his files would be found. And as he hit send, Michael wondered how much time he had left before they came for him. The Trilateral Commission says its goal is to foster international cooperation. But there's evidence of a darker agenda, the creation of a global government controlled by a select few. They've actually admitted to this. The commission released a report in 1975 stating that the U.S.'s major problem is an excess of democracy.
What, they said we have too much freedom?
Yep. They said the United States government should be more centralized and given more power.
So what's happened to the U.S. government since then?
It became more centralized and was given more power.
Uh-huh.
To create a one-world government, you need to remove borders and erode national sovereignty. The commission believes nation-states are outdated. Governments could solve problems more efficiently through integration and interdependence. The European Union has the commission's fingerprints all over it.
Let me ask you something. Do lizard people leave fingerprints?
I am not a lizard.
The Trilateral Commission wants free trade everywhere. Why? To promote economic integration and interdependence. Using a single currency also helps. Created in 1999, the euro is now the official currency of 20 countries and accepted in 13 more. Trilateral Commission members and associates also have their fingerprints all over the 2008 financial crisis. Here are some key players: Robert Rubin, Timothy Geithner, Henry Paulson, and Lawrence Summers. All former bankers and hedge fund managers, and U.S. Treasury secretaries. Plus Ben Bernanke and Paul Volcker. Both were chairmen of the Federal Reserve. By the way, a few of those same men orchestrated the bailout.
Hang on.
What?
Bankers came up with the plan to fix the problem they caused?
Yup.
And the banker's solution was to give the banks billions of dollars?
Trillions.
Nobody saw a problem with this.
They said it was necessary to stabilize the economy.
Well, I think this is the most significant financial crisis in the post-war period.
There are fears the sell-off will continue on Wall Street.
I'm going to be continuing to consult with congressional leaders to find a way forward to get something done as soon as possible. We need to get something done.
But it sounds like a calculated move to consolidate wealth and power.
Goldman Sachs, okay, earns $2.3 billion last year. They received $10 billion in taxpayer funds, which we should say they've already paid off. But then they paid out $4.8 billion in bonuses, more than twice what they took in.
The numbers are in. Wall Street firms are setting aside close to $20 billion for bonuses and compensation benefits.
The four top executives of Merrill Lynch took home $121 million in bonuses, Heidi, even as the company lost more than $15 billion in the quarter.
But the commission's favorite tool for controlling the world's economy? Climate change. They proposed a solution, carbon credits. Every industry, every small business, every person would have a cap on how much carbon they emit. If you go over your limit, you pay a fine, or you buy more carbon credits. Imagine smart meters in every home. Once your credits run out, your heat shuts off. So you freeze or buy more credits.
Yeah, buy them from who?
The transactions would be handled by the banks.
The banks, they control.
That's right. They say this system would save the planet. And it might. It would also be a great way to control people, especially the poor and middle class. But how can such radical changes be implemented without public outcry? Mind control. No, not by using chemtrails or putting something in the water. Their mind control is subtle persuasion and distraction and propaganda. But you're not going to fall for propaganda delivered by bankers you've never heard of. The propaganda is delivered by people you already know. Jansen huddled in his safe house, surrounded by humming servers and dead drops from his network of whistleblowers. The world outside had become almost unrecognizable. The Harmony chip was now everywhere. The unchipped were outcasts. Without the chip, life was difficult. You couldn't enter a store, board public transport, or even access your own home without the chip signal. Healthcare was off limits, and finding employment was impossible. The chip had become your identity, your wallet, and your key to society. Michael had gone off-grid to avoid it, relying on a shrinking circle of trusted allies. The chip's true purpose, total surveillance and control, was clear to him now. But even as others realized they were being tracked, they were willing to give up their privacy. Living with the Harmony chip was just easier. Besides, if you weren't doing anything wrong, what did you have to fear? And people could be tracked in other ways. Cryptocurrency was once seen as a tool for financial freedom, but no longer. The Global Council had co-opted blockchain technology to create the Unity coin. And, as predicted, every financial transaction was logged and scrutinized. A few people still use decentralized cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, but no mainstream product or service could be purchased with anything but Unity. Sure, Bitcoin kept its promise, a truly peer-to-peer electronic cash system free from the control of any central authority. But what good is it if no merchant would accept it? Nations had all but dissolved, replaced by economic zones governed by AI algorithms. These algorithms helped promote the Global Council's agenda, but AI did more than promote policy. It enforced it. Dissent was now classified as a form of mental illness, those who spoke out against the council were removed from society for their own safety. But Michael had actual hard evidence, and it was damning. He traced the connections from Bilderberg to the Trilateral Commission to the Council on Foreign Relations. He had proof of how they architected this New World Order over decades. The truth had to come out. But publishing was nearly impossible now. All media was centralized. But there were corners of the internet still hidden from the council. Places where dissenters communicated through encrypted message boards on the deep web. He knew they would get the word out. As he put the finishing touches on his 5-year investigation, Michael felt a mix of pride and terror. He knew the risks. He knew releasing this information could, and probably would, cost him his life. It didn't matter. This was bigger than just one man. Tomorrow, he would release everything. The world would finally know the truth. The Council on Foreign Relations, or CFR, has been described as the most powerful private organization in the United States. It influences every level of American government, media, and academia. Its membership is full of power brokers, former presidents, secretaries of state, CIA directors, Federal Reserve chairs, and media billionaires. Some are also members of the Trilateral Commission. Others are also members of Bilderberg. A few are members of all three groups, including architects of the 2008 bailout. The Council's stated mission is to be a resource for understanding foreign policy.
The Council on Foreign Relations is an unbiased, unvarnished view of policy.
But its true purpose seems more profound. Shape American foreign policy in service of a one-world government. The CFR supports international bodies like the UN and the World Bank. It supports SDRs, or special drawing rights. SDRs are a universal currency.
IMF members have access to unconditional liquidity.
Unconditional liquidity.
The CFR exists, the Trilateral Commission exists, and it's a, quote, conspiracy of ideas. This is an ideological battle. Some people believe in globalism, others of us believe in national sovereignty.
Like Bilderberg and Trilateral, CFR promotes free trade that benefits multinational corporations. They push for military interventions that serve the interests of the military-industrial complex.
On my orders, coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance to undermine Saddam Hussein's ability to wage war. These are opening stages of what will be a broad and concerted campaign.
These groups could easily lay the foundation that leads to world domination. But you can't win hearts and minds on a platform of world domination. The CFR's reach extends beyond politics. Its reach includes Hollywood. Movie stars can shape minds. A famous trusted face can help craft a narrative. They'll use phrases like global unity and global community to make a one-world government seem perfectly normal.
If you want to live in a society that is receptive to new people and ideas and commerce and travel and globalization.
Why is George Clooney so political? He's a member of the CFR. How did Angelina Jolie get so involved with the UN and their humanitarian missions? She's a member of the CFR. Anderson Cooper, George Stephanopoulos, and Leslie Stahl are journalists, but not impartial ones. They're members of the CFR. Now, before you start screaming that the Council on Foreign Relations sounds like a left-wing group, know that Dick Cheney is a member.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
John Bolton, Condoleezza Rice, and many other prominent Republicans are members of the CFR.
They don't even hide it anymore. You know, the Trilateral Commission, as well as the Council of Foreign Relations. No matter what, which president, which party is in power, they will appoint to the major offices members of these two committees.
For many Americans, politics has become far more personal and divisive than it once was. And now, in the run-up to the November election, that's creating some friction in families.
The problem is focused on powerful battles.
That's part of it, but it's also...
Stop fighting about politics. That's distraction. Using celebrities? That's persuasion. Watch these people closely. Don't let them distract you. Don't let them persuade you. They're following orders, whether they know it or not. The decisions made by Bilderbergers, Trilaterals, and the CFR impact the lives of everyone on the planet. Yet there is no transparency. There is no accountability. And if they achieve their goal, there will be no democracy. Jansen shuffled through the puddled streets of New York City. He turned up his collar against the biting wind. This once vibrant metropolis now felt like a ghost town. The towering skyscrapers looked old and tired. Streets were nearly empty. But the skies above were not. Surveillance drones kept a close watch on everything below. Billboards, once used for advertising, now flashed the latest government directives. It had been 2 years since he'd released his exposé and 1 year since the Great Reset. Michael hated that term. The Reset was just the final consolidation of power by the global elite. He remembered the day he uploaded his findings to the deep web, and for a brief moment, it seemed like the world would change. His evidence gathered over years proved the connections between the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations. He'd exposed their role in the creation of the Unity Coin currency, the implementation of the Harmony Chip, and the formation of the Global Council. For a few weeks, the world was chaos. Protests erupted everywhere. But the response was swift and brutal. The Global Council declared a state of emergency. Curfews were implemented. Stay-at-home orders were enforced. Dissent was criminalized. Those who spread misinformation, including Michael's actual evidence, were not just conspiracy theorists. They were labeled threats to democracy. The irony made him furious. Michael proved that democracy had been replaced by authoritarianism, yet he was the threat. The candidates in the last election, if you can call it that, were members of or supported by the Global Council, the group he'd publicly exposed. The illusion of choice remained, but the outcome was predetermined. Michael's wristband buzzed. He glanced at it as it changed from purple to orange, and then he sighed. His social credit score had dropped again. He needed to be careful. Once your score dipped below a certain level, you were taken to a re-education facility. This was, as always, for your own safety. Michael's stomach growled. But without the Harmony Chip, no restaurant would take him. The only place he could find a hot meal and a bed was St. Mary's, one of the few churches left in New York. The Global Council had slowly marginalized religion over the years. It began subtly, with increased taxes on religious properties and restrictions on public gatherings. They cited concerns about social harmony and the need for a unified global culture. The media, under council control, painted religious beliefs as outdated and superstitious. Schools banned religious education as it was uninclusive. Instead, children were taught about the virtues of global citizenship. It also helped that the Harmony chip was able to steer people away from their faith. The truth was, religion was a source of authority, morality, and community outside the council's control. It offered people hope and meaning that didn't align with the council's worldview, and that was a problem. On his way to St. Mary's, Michael passed World Unity Plaza, formerly Times Square. Michael was still amazed at how quickly it happened, the erosion of privacy, the consolidation of corporate power, the gradual surrender of individual freedoms, all in the name of security and prosperity. He tried to warn everyone. He had the proof, but it wasn't enough. Despite the rain, World Unity Plaza was busy. Bright digital billboards showcased the latest achievement of the global government. The headline proudly announced the end of poverty. Sure, there was no more poverty because the word poverty was redefined. Food stamps, housing subsidies, public transportation, and other social services were now part of your earnings. That was added to your universal basic income. Suddenly, those struggling to survive were earning more than before. But that was just on paper. He thought the end of poverty sign should be replaced with the end of the middle class. At least that would be the truth. But nobody really cared about the truth anymore. Inside the church, Michael ate his soup at a table with other unchipped people. Churches had become the last refuge for those resisting the New World Order, but he knew churches wouldn't last long. Anything that interfered with, quote, progress disappeared. Michael sounded the alarm and presented his evidence, but it only accelerated the elite's plans. Now, all he could do was try to survive in this illusion as an outcast. Sure, he could instantly improve his life by getting the Harmony chip, using Unity Coin, and raising his social credit score. That's all he had to do to live comfortably. He just wasn't willing to pay the cost. The entire world was given this choice, and they made it. They chose comfort and security. And all it cost them was freedom. Today's story paints a dark picture of a world controlled by secret organizations. But how much of this is true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of it is.
The Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations exist. Their members hold powerful positions in government, corporations, and international institutions. Their meetings often coincide with significant global events. Still, a leap to a new world order is a big one. That said, we can't dismiss the idea entirely. Their lack of transparency and concentration of power is a problem that leads to corruption. Members bounce from government to media to think tanks and back again. How can an anchor report the news honestly if their last job was at the White House? They can't, and they don't. Look, cable news isn't news, it's entertainment. Left or right, it doesn't matter. They don't tell you the truth. They're paid to regurgitate propaganda coming from corporate and political leadership.
Who may or may not actually be lizard people.
They want you to argue with your family and your neighbors. While you're on Facebook or Twitter bickering over politics, you're not really paying attention. But here's a little secret. The people within these powerful groups, regardless of party or ideology, don't hate each other. They work together. They push for centralized global power and interventionism. Interventionism means war, by the way. They say their policies will bring prosperity and stability, but all we've seen is rising inequality and war after war. Their policies have failed.
Yeah, their policies brought prosperity and stability to their offshore bank accounts.
That's true. For decades, they've controlled foreign policy. They've created a system that intermingles public and private interests to benefit a select few at the expense of the rest of us.
The American people had to bail out AIG, but most Americans still lost 40 to 50% of their retirement plans.
If we had not made that action, they would have lost 70%.
They say short-term sacrifices must be made for a better future. A better future for who? In 1970, the top 10% of the U.S. population earned 30% of total income. Now they earn almost 50%. In 1970, they owned 60% of total wealth. Now they own almost 80%. That's why I kept talking about the 2008 financial crisis. My parents lost half their retirement savings. People, regular people, got hurt.
More big-name companies made plans to shed workers.
The bank that got billions in free money from the taxpayers then turns around, cuts off credit to a local business, and then won't authorize workers to get a penny upon leaving with 3 days' notice. We're outraged.
Now, do I believe the crash was orchestrated by one of these secret groups? No. But the crisis was caused by Wall Street greed and corrupt regulators who were members of these groups. They crashed the system, and we had to bail them out.
This is mom and pop. Grocery stores don't get this break. When they make bad financial decisions, they go out of business. But the rich and famous Wall Street, New York City fat cats expect Joe Sixpack to buck it up and pay for all this nonsense.
We were told they're too big to fail. We could lose our homes. The economy could collapse. We have to bail out the banks, insurance companies, big car manufacturers.
It's a global financial crisis, so please take our money. Take our money. Raise our taxes. Raise them.
And they did. And those companies were saved. And wealthy executives got even wealthier. Bear with me for a second. Our taxes funded these bonuses. James Gorman of Morgan Stanley got a $4.9 million bonus. John Stumpf, Wells Fargo, almost $6 million. Lloyd Blankfein, Goldman Sachs, $9 million. John Thain, Merrill Lynch, $15 million bonus. Kenneth Chenault, American Express, almost $19 million. Vikram Pandit, Citigroup, $24 million. Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan Chase, $29 million. Robert Kelly, Bank of New York Mellon, $35 million. Lawrence M. Small, Fannie Mae, almost $43 million. While regular people lost their homes, savings, and retirement accounts, Citigroup cut Andrew Hall a bonus check for $100 million. I just read you the top 10 list. In total, about $20 billion was paid to bankers as bonuses after the bailout. Every executive and politician involved in that crisis should have gone to prison. Instead, they bought more homes, yachts, and private planes, and we paid for it. The Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations have real power over your life. They need to be watched closely. They'll present appealing ideas, global cooperation, a healthier population, a cleaner environment. We all want these. But when those ideas come from people who operate in secret, you have to ask, how does this idea benefit them? Because it always does. So what can we do? We have to elect leaders who demand transparency and accountability. But first, we have to care. We have to get off our phones, open our eyes, and get engaged. We have to stop giving up our freedom so easily.
What the hell do you think she's going to do? Set off a shoe bomb?
This happened at Dulles Airport outside Washington. The woman's daughter complained that the search was, quote, prolonged and repetitive. It lasted for 6 minutes.
Every time there's a global crisis, the elites promise to keep us safe. All we have to do is give up a little more freedom.
And by passing the Patriot Act, we will make America safer while safeguarding our civil liberties and privacy.
A top secret court order is forcing Verizon to turn over all phone records for calls made in the U.S. to the National Security Agency, and not just calls made to overseas numbers. When you call grandma in Nebraska, the NSA knows.
During the past week, we have heard about a series of major violations of our civil liberties, including the fact that NSA is collecting the phone records of tens of millions of Americans. This wholesale snooping on innocent Americans is an unacceptable violation of one of our most basic freedoms.
They don't seize power, we give it to them.
So the couple is vaccinated and got tested ahead of their trip to Hawaii as required. But when they arrived in Honolulu, they were ordered to quarantine in their hotel room or face arrest.
And once they acquire a new power, they don't give it back.
To require people to stay home, require people
to not go to work, and to arrest people for trying to make a living. This all seems wrong. 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 Seems wrong.
As long as these secret groups have power, there will always be another crisis they'll have to solve.
The humanitarian crisis.
Our response has been to the crisis.
The refugee crisis.
A crisis in the markets.
Accelerating global food crisis.
The financial crisis.
The worst of the humanitarian crisis.
A fiscal crisis.
The public health crisis.
A banking crisis.
It's refugee crisis.
And a growth crisis.
The climate crisis.
The climate crisis.
The crisis of the old order.
The crisis in the Central African Republic.
Crisis of indifference.
The Ukraine crisis.
Or Ebola, or a crisis.
The economic, social, and political crisis.
Humanitarian crises.
The missile crisis.
As long as these secret groups have power, there will always be another crisis they'll have to solve. They'll promise to keep us safe. We just have to give up a little more freedom. Then a little more. Then just a little more. Eventually, we'll have no freedoms left. We'll be dependent on the select few who have all the power that slowly, over time, we gave them. Those select few know this. They want us distracted. They want us divided. Because they know that to create a new world order, all they have to do is wait. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. My name is AJ. That's Ecclefish.
Taxes are theft. Audit the Fed. Fear the Crab Cat. Thank you and good night.
This has been The Live Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do me a favor. Like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff really makes him happy. And like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to hear more about, go to thewifefiles.com/tips. And remember, The Live Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel, and I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. You know what? This one might be one of them. We'll find out. Anyway, the name of the podcast is called, wait for it, The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, and not everybody does, some people get too much, but if you need more, check out our Discord server. There are thousands of people on there 24/7. They're into the same weird stuff we are. It's a great community, really supportive. It's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. If you want to know what's going on with The Y-Files at any given time, check out our production calendar. It's at theyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, all that stuff. Special thanks to our patrons who made this episode happen. If it wasn't for you, there would be no Y-Files. So every episode is dedicated to you. I'm really proud of the community that we've built, and you should be too. It is the best community on the internet. And I could not do this without your support. So from my heart, thank you. If you'd like to support the channel and join this amazing community, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like the videos early with no commercials, access to merch only available to members, plus you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. The whole Y-Files team is on the stream, and you can turn on your webcam and ask a question or talk about anything you like. I think last week I did a live stream for 4.5 hours. They're not always like that, and that one was weird, but it was a lot of fun. I think it's the best perk that you get for being a Patreon member. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab a heck of a t-shirt or one of these Fistable mugs that you stick your fist in, along with a delicious beverage of your choice to enjoy either hot or cold in a wonderful morning, or a hoodie with my face on it, or one of these squeezy talking animal Heggle toy, talking fish style toys.
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind. And know that you are appreciated.
Oh, 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 yeah. I played Polybius in Area 51. A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. stars. I know it never ends. I fear the crap got and got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the fishes. Had no fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Wild. The Mothman sightings and the solar storm still come to a god, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. In a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe